through 18. And follow along if you like. The NIV says this: therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what we can see, but we fix our eyes on what is unseen. For that what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen? And we amen that scripture to death, because that is us. The Message says it this way, and I kind of like this. So we're not supposed to give up, according to the Message. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart, up on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. Amen? Woo! And the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we now see are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things that we cannot see will last forever. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as most of you know, I pastor a church down in East Canton called Mount Tabor. They have a pastor today that is going to bring them the message. One of my friends who attends the church, and I'm glad to have an understudy there so we can all have a pastor together. So when I do a sermon, there's three parts to every sermon. I kind of learned this in lay speaking school when I worked in that venue. Three parts to every sermon. The first part is what? So now what are we going to talk about? And the second part is, well, so what? So why do I care? And the third part is, now what? Well, now that I know what we're going to talk about, and now that I know that I should care, now what? What do I do now? What do I do with this? How do I apply this, apply it to my life? So we're going to start very simply with the what. The what. And here it is. Three parts to every sermon. Count them down. We'll all be on the same page. It was a beautiful day in Cambridge, Ohio, where Scott had been appointed in the year 2004. And our children, ages 12 and 10, sat with me in the living room of our parsonage, and I was reading a book, and they were watching a television show, and I looked up from my book just in time to see my 10-year-old, Anthony, looking at me with very loving eyes. And it wasn't long before, as he gazed at me in wonder, he said, "Mom, I can't wait to get older because I want to be just like you." Wow. Anybody's child ever said that to you? I was surprised and I was a little bit flattered. And I said, "Really, Tony? You want to be just like me? Wow." And with that look of pure innocence in his 10-year-old eyes, he replied, "Yes, Mom, you're so lucky. You have done everything. You've gotten married. You have children. You live in a house. You've worked hard all your life. And now, Mom," in all seriousness, he said, "and now, Mom, you're just sitting around waiting to die." And wow, I know. I was only just turned 50. I guess that's old to a 10-year-old, but I just tried not to laugh and I tried not to cry. I didn't know which emotion was going to surface at that moment, but I said, "Yes, son, that is what I am doing. I am just sitting here waiting to die." Well, that was 20 years ago, and I am still waiting. And I'm certain that I looked pretty old to my son to be fair, I was a bit older, about 30 years older than him. And I had, no, I lied. I gave birth to him when I was age 40, so that would make me 40 years older than him. Well, when he was a baby, I would sometimes lay him down somewhere at age 41, 42, and I'd be like, now where did I put that child? Yeah, that's why older women don't have children. We forget where we put them. We have to wait till they cry so we can, oh, wait, I hear something. No, it wasn't that bad. But today we are going to talk about the art of growing old. And I've heard it said that old age is not for sissies. Can I get an amen? Oh, my goodness. In fact, I've said that several times to folks who are my age now, and I can certainly relate to that statement at this stage of the game. Have you ever looked in the mirror and thought, who is that looking back at me? That's why I'm pretty certain the Lord didn't intend for older women to ever look in a mirror. When did this happen? Who is that old woman looking back at me? And honestly, I can tell you now at age 70 that I've done that several times. And talk about going to your class reunion, forget about it. No, I don't even attend those things anymore. I'm way too old for that stuff. But I once read an article in a magazine written by a reporter who had interviewed, and you might recognize this name, had interviewed the great philosopher and America Idol season 2 first runner-up, true story, Clay Aiken. Anybody hear of Clay Aiken? That was several years ago, of course. And he was asked this question about how he saw Hollywood, because now he was a part of the Hollywood elite, I guess. How do you see Hollywood, Clay? And how do you see the people that live in Hollywood? And he answered the question with something like this. It's not word for word. It's just as close as I can remember. But he said, Hollywood is such a sad, pathetic town. Everyone is so worried about their outsides. They obsess with how they look. They obsess with what they wear. They obsess with how they do their hair, how they do their makeup. They worry about their latest Botox injections, their lip plumping. They're so concerned about their outsides, and they talk about everyone else's outsides while all alone, all along, their insides are rotting. Yes, most of the advertising we see today would have all of America following this same thought pattern. Because you've seen the ads. You see them everywhere. You can't pick up your phone without seeing an ad that's in the newspapers, on the billboards, in magazines, on television, radio, the internet, Facebook. You just can't get away from it. And they're all pushing the same agenda when it comes to reversing the physical aging process. They jump out at you at every advertising venue that proclaims their product is going to help you. It's going to help you look younger and feel younger and be more alive and more active. It's going to get the wrinkles out of your face. It's going to help you lose weight. It's going to have your tummy tucked and make your bottom bigger. Exercise your abs into a six-pack. Run more. Eat healthier. Work out those muscles. Botox that face. And so it goes on and on and on. And, you know, we live in this type of world. A world where we focus on our outsides. It's not just about Hollywood, people. We're all doing the same thing. And where does it stop? How does this craziness stop? Because you know what, Christian? When it comes right down to it, it doesn't matter what we do, how many pills we pop, how many trips to the gym we make, how many facelifts we undergo, how many tucks and surgeries we survive. In the end, no matter how young we may appear on the outside, we're all going to die. Now, how else can I encourage you this morning? But our scripture says this. It says, For this reason, we never become discouraged, even though our physical being is gradually decaying, and it is. Our spiritual being is renewed day after day. What's going on our insides is what's important. And when I looked up the word renewed in the thesaurus, it gave these translations: transformed, changed, new, converted, improved. What? So while our outsides are decaying, our insides are becoming new. My paraphrase for this is, even though our outsides are getting older and there's not a darn thing we can do about it, our insides, what's important is becoming new. New? How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the what. That is the what of our sermon today. And now we go to the so what. So why do I care? Let's find out. Even though our outsides are getting older, our outsides are getting weaker, our outsides sprout new wrinkles, it gets heavier, saggier, things start going south, it gets harder to stay healthy, we cannot stop the progression of age. The good news is that what really matters is what's happening on our insides. And for the Christian, all of us, it's this. When we spend time in God's Word, when we spend time with Him, our spirit is being renewed every day. It's being improved every day, transformed, changed. Our spirit, our insides are becoming younger, more vibrant, more alive on our insides, our very souls, as we grow younger every day. More like Jesus as we spend time with Him, closer to heaven every day. So when we do cross that threshold, when we do enter those gates of heaven, when we finally meet Him face to face, Him, the one that we put all our hope in, the one we put all of our faith in, when we see Him face to face, what our faith has taught us all these years becomes sight. It becomes sight one day. Our hearts will be finely tuned, in sync with our Creator, in sync with our Lord, in sync with our Savior. That is why we as Christians focus on what is on the inside of us. That what's inside is eternity. Eternity. You know how long that is? Can anybody count to eternity? Not one of us. Our insides, our very souls, will live forever. Whew. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. We must strive to be like Jesus by dying daily to our flesh that cries out to be more and more like this crazy world. Thank God we are only strangers here. What matters to the Christian is eternity in heaven with Jesus and the growth of His kingdom here on earth. Amen. That must remain our focus as we get closer and closer to that day when it's our turn to meet the Lord, to our own birthday, if you will, in heaven. We will be so connected to God that we serve, the God that we walk hand in hand with on this earth, the God who made us and molded us into His image. And when we arrive for our own birth in heaven, there'll be no surprises. There'll be no surprises. Our birthday in heaven. I wonder if this whole aging, death, and dying process could maybe be paralleled to the miracle of birth, you know. The first pregnancy, ladies, if you can remember, it's caught up with little minor problems, little aches and pains, little challenges, little difference in smell and taste and that morning sickness. But as the pregnancy goes on, you start noticing the changes in your actual body. things start growing that were never there before. And then D-Day arrives, delivery day, and the labor begins, and you're so uncomfortable and miserable, and the only thing that will help you is drugs. Or maybe the calming sound of your husband, your coach's smooth, mellow voice as he lulls you into proper breathing, said no woman ever. But then that new life arrives, and this wonderful euphoric elation encompasses your body. You hear that baby cry, and you actually forget the pain and the misery of having gone through, I don't know, 3 hours of, 10 hours of labor and that whole birthing thing. My first word to Scott, and I kid you not, after Lacey was born, was this: oh, honey, let's have another one. And that's a true story. And the doctor who delivered her said, I have never heard that on a delivery table before. But your heart is so totally focused and wrapped around that little beautiful bundle, the new life that God created through you. Wow, what joy. The first day of new life on earth. The same could be said about the dying process. You know, the first stages are encompassed with gentle aches and pains. And then you start to see changes in your body. Things don't work like they used to. And then comes the day that you find yourself actively dying, and you experience the pain that only drugs can help. But when Jesus comes, when Jesus takes you by the hand and leads you to your home in heaven, that heaven, what beauty, what elation fills your heart, what joy. And I'm certain that this warm, euphoric feeling comes over you and overwhelms you as you realize that you are now enjoying your first day of new life in Christ. You're breathing celestial air. Oh, how good it feels. Verse 17, and this small and temporary trouble that we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. We must focus of what is going on our insides, our spirit. For when we focus on the eternal, that's when we do that. And so that's the now, the so what. So why do I care? Because we're all going to go through it, and you better care. And you want to go through it with a little more dignity than you ever thought you could have. So now comes the now what. We've done the what, the so what. Well, now what? Now what do we do with all this? It's time that we take our eyes off of ourselves. Take our eyes off of ourselves and look to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. There is hope for the Christian. Even though our outsides are wasting away, our insides, what really matters, is being transformed every day. That hope for the Christian. Don't misunderstand, I'm certainly not implying that we should abandon our bodies and not take care of them. We must be good stewards of everything that God has given us, and that includes this earthly tent. But our focus must be on heaven, on what's coming. It says in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. You know, if we all worked half as much on our insides as we do on our outsides, wow, what a difference this world would look like. Amen. What a difference this world would be. People not obsessed with the physical aspect of who we are, not the outside looks of our bodies, our hair, and our makeup, and our muscles, and our physical stamina, but each one focused on the condition of their insides, where it matters. Each person indwelt by the beautiful Holy Spirit, each person looking to Christ and walking the path with him, not against him. Each person in prayer, each person in the Word of God, each person in fellowship with one another, each person worshiping him, each person singing these songs of praise with a smile on their face, each person becoming more and more like Jesus, loving one another, helping one another, bringing love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, kindness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, all Christians, all Christ-like, all followers of the living God. What kind of world would that be? I'll tell you, that day is coming, but not on this old earth. Nope, we'll reach that place when we take our first step into heaven. Amen? The baby is so content when they're in the confines of his mother's womb because it's warm and it's secure and silent. And the baby knows nothing else but that. And there's only about an inch of flesh that separates that baby from the realities of life on this beautiful earth that God created in 6 days. We too are comfortable living here on this earth. It's all we've ever known. But there's only a breath that separates each one of us from the awesomeness of heaven. And God's been working on heaven for thousands of years. Can you imagine its beauty? Can you imagine a place where there's no tears, there's no fears? That should be the focus. That should be the focus, the kingdom of God, of our souls, his kingdom. And we want as many people going with us as we possibly can. So let us fix our attention, not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. Because what can be seen lasts only for a short time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. Amen. We must keep our eyes focused on him, for he is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. And we do this by following that great commandment to love the Lord your God, love thy neighbor as thyself, and the great commission of make disciples of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, as we go about our day today, let us keep our eyes focused on you. Everything else is just stuff. But you, God, you are the real deal, and we want to walk by your side every step of every day, being in communion with you, talking with you, having conversation, praying to you, singing songs of praise to you. Lord, what better way to spend the day? We ask your blessing on this sermon. We ask your blessing on this church, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And we look to you for answers, and we look to you for the truth. We love you, Jesus, and we say, as God's people, amen and amen.